Well, welcome. We are starting to wind down now, but I'm not going to get upset. I'm not going to say goodbye yet. I want to talk about resourcing volunteers because you might be in leadership, you might be a volunteer, you might be looking forward to becoming a leader in your community, but volunteers are such a heartbeat in ministry, and so I want to make sure that volunteers specifically are well equipped for the ministry with people of all abilities as we create congregations of belonging with people of all abilities. So let's jump into some ways of resourcing volunteers. Now, think again about that shredded cheese, right? We've brought that up a few times, and again, I'm just thinking about if church was a casserole, all of the ingredients mixed in, and then that person who is the shredded cheese, or maybe it's a team of people who are the shredded cheese of our church. And maybe that's going to be you now that you've gone through this course, and you're going to be the one that can come alongside and think for worship planning, or for children's ministry, for a men's ministry, or for those outreach events. How are we thinking for people with disabilities? But what I mean in this context right now is these can be experts who maybe don't want to be volunteers on a consistent or a weekly basis, but these are people whose expertise you can lean on, and they can help you be the shredded cheese because maybe they are medical professionals or special educators or simply educators in a school setting, and so they know children very well and they know some educational best practices. Maybe these are individuals who work in occupational therapy or some other kind of, maybe a pharmacist, right? Someone who has some expertise that you can lean into. And so they can be consultants for you. They can come alongside you and maybe be on call for your volunteers. So that when those volunteers have those big behaviors or have a situation, or maybe your nursery workers have that toddler who's not yet walking, not talking like the other children are, and they're wondering if this is something that should be addressed and how do they do that and what could they really be recording or noticing more carefully to have an accurate view of this and to be able to support the family well. So you might be able to call on someone who's already in your congregation who has that expertise. Maybe they ran a daycare for 20 years. Maybe they've worked with individuals with disabilities. Maybe they have a child with Down syndrome who has now grown up. And so they are willing to come alongside your volunteers to say, yeah, you know, I'm glad you asked that question. Let's look at these factors, and then here's how you can help the family. So you're offering that support from their expertise, but they don't have to be the ones who are hands-on every week just because they happen to know about this area of disability or education or medical expertise, right? But they could come alongside to support people because I think volunteers feel much more comfortable when they know they have someone to go to for support. So when they have questions, they have someone they can ask. And they feel much more equipped, and honestly, they'll volunteer for longer if they have good training. And so if you can lean on those experts, or if you can use some pieces from this course or some of the resources that I've shared with you to help to train the volunteers, then they're honestly going to feel much more strongly equipped. They're going to feel more eager to keep learning and to keep doing things because you're feeding them, because you're supporting them, and they know where they can go if they run stuck. Right? So help people to get unstuck by making sure that you have some experts and some support in place. So I'm open to receiving an email from you if that's helpful, but I think there are a lot of great experts that you can lean on, probably in your own community, but also some international and some around the United States as well that I wanted to share with you. So I've been a part of a conference put on by the International Network of Children's Ministry several times called the Children's Pastors Conference, and that's simply one of the events that they do. But if you're thinking specifically about children's ministry and situations involving children and youth, the International Network of Children's Ministry has great trainings that are online. Some are free, some you might pay for a course or even for the certificate to say that I've completed this course. But they have great resources on being trauma-informed and on leading children's ministry well. A lot of now also coming out in the area of disability. I've recorded a couple of those, as well as some others have. So check them out. They have great resources, and they're all over the world. With Ministries, I've brought up a couple of times, so I encourage you to have a look at their website. Also, Nathaniel's Hope has something called Buddy Break, which is a great training platform. Their Buddy Break is actually a respite program so that people with disabilities come for respite once a month, and they call it Buddy Break because every person who comes for respite has a buddy during that time that says, what do you want to go do? Here, let me help you with this. And is just alongside that person the whole time. And so it gives a break for the caregivers who are usually caregiving 24/7. And these last usually about a full morning, maybe 3 or 4 hours, or sometimes an entire day, depends on what the church does. But the training for Buddy Break is phenomenal. It equips people to do this respite, to know how to interact, especially with children with disabilities, to think for some situations, to plan for those big behaviors, to have fun things to do. They're really great at equipping, and I think Nathaniel's Hope has done a great job to say this is a great inroads, and so if you can invite people in through offering respite for the caregivers and something fun for the kids with disabilities and their siblings to do once a month, that's going to be a wonderful way of inviting people into the church in other ways. And so Nathaniel's Hope Buddy Break is just a great resource if you want to check out some of their training materials as well. Something else I just want you to be aware of is, at least out of the United States, there is a network called the Disability Ministry Network, and I'm a part of that network, and so are all of these, so many of the organizations that I have mentioned, like Nathaniel's Hope and WIF Ministries and SOAR Special Needs and the Banquet Network and Faith Inclusion Network. There are just so many organizations as a part of this network, all of them with resources, with experts that you could reach out to. So look at disabilityministrynetwork.org and browse the directory of who's involved with that network. There are organizations serving all over the place with wonderful resources. And so if your people are running stuck, there are some folks that you can lean on to ask some questions of and find out some information from them, maybe even get some training. They might even be near your area. So I just encourage you, look around. There are organizations eager, ready, and willing to help. Now I'm going to play another little clip here from Barb, and I just want to tell you that she talks about encouraging people in the conversation and sort of launching into the idea of how do we equip one another and equipping the congregation and the community as a whole to think about being a place of belonging for people of all abilities. And she really loves true-false quizzes. And so she'd say, put your thumb up if you think it's true, put your thumb down if you think it's false. And then she would ask some questions and offer some statistics as a fun way of engaging people. So she's going to talk about that, and then I'll pick back up in a moment. So enjoy this clip from Barb as she talks about equipping your congregation in general.
People who work in the programs in your community, they need to know that the people that are under your care, that this is important. So by using some of those statistics to call people into this, you just once look at the rates of pregnancy terminations for persons with Down syndrome. Use that statistic, would you? And then you challenge the people in your congregation to change that statistic by the way we honor that child before that child's ever born, by the way we talk about who that child is going to be in and to our community. So again, that quick true-false of, you know, here's a statistic, what do you think? Is it true-false? Give the answer. And then use that as a platform to pull people into the mission and the opportunity that you have within your congregation. And then I would also hasten to say, please, 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 as you're working with any volunteers or congregation in general, make it scripture-based. We talked about that. What's your platform? Why are we doing this? We're not doing this necessarily to meet a law of the land. We're doing this at the direction of how God wants us to set up community, how he wants to live with one another in community. And as we roll out that carpet, as we put out that floor mat where we are going to plant our feet and stand, we might not have all the answers, but when we're confident on the mat we're standing on, it makes a whole lot of difference how you interact with an individual on Sunday or on Wednesday night. So again, my thinking through my own days of children's ministry, training in general, and then the opportunity to have specific information around individuals through personalized plans, but then also that, oh my goodness, what do we do, sort of plan and person to go to. Shredded cheese throughout really creates that beautiful aroma to God. I know that. We got that. You remember that part? But also that shredded cheese is this comforting ingredient that allows your volunteers to function even if you don't have all the answers on this day. So just wanted to share some of those things, and everything we do, let's stand on Scripture and truly use your church to make heaven a noisier place.
Now, Barb ended that clip by bringing up some Scripture, and that's where I want to spend the rest of this time, is just thinking about some Scriptures that really help us to think through our biblical foundation for this conversation and equipping our community to think as a place of belonging for people of all abilities. And so, of course, the ones you saw on the screen with her that are some of my favorites, probably because I learned them through her, but Romans 15:7, as we've already brought up before in this course, accept one another then just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. And as Barb said, let's make heaven a noisier place. Heaven erupts in praise when we accept one another just as Christ accepted us. So let's make our churches a place where that happens, that our churches are bringing praise to God simply by accepting one another. Also, think about 1 Corinthians 12:27, that God has arranged the parts of the body just as he wanted them to be. And that could be what you put on the wall with your puzzle piece display or your chain links. But launching into that conversation, just knowing that Scripture tells us God's put us together. So when he brings people with disabilities into your community, he's done that on purpose. He's arranging the pieces. Find out those strengths and those areas of need for support and how you can work together and be the body that he has arranged you to be. A few other scriptures I want to share are from some others. Remember, I mentioned there are organizations that have wonderful people and resources eager and willing to help. So here are some scripture passages and thoughts from some of those ministry leaders that I just want to share with you and encourage you to share with others or explore their resources so that you can share with your community what God is doing in, with, and through people with disabilities all around the world. So I love this one from Michael Panther, who his book is called Living with Hope, and his entire ministry is called Hope Mobility International. And he really leans on the fact that each person is created in the image of God with value and purpose. And from Genesis 1:26, we know that God created us. And from Ephesians 2:10, we know that God has things set for us to do. And so his book and his ministry leans into those scriptures, as do so many other ministries. But I really loved how he does that and how he talks about that. And so check out the little video clip and some of the resources from his organization. I've mentioned to you before Stephanie Hubach, and she wrote the beautiful article, The Gift of People with Down Syndrome. And in that article, she says this, Psalm 139 makes no distinctions when the psalmist reminds us so beautifully of God's unique, cherished design of human beings. For you have formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. And I want you to know that very well. I want everyone who encounters you, because you have been through this course, to know that very well. So just listen to Steph's words, and again, look into those resources for how you can exhibit that in everything you do. This is a great one from Dr. Lamar Hardwick, who is known on social media as the Autism Pastor. And he really is a great pastor and a Bible teacher. And so he says, who better to help us understand the realities of flesh versus spirit than people with disabilities? And he talks about the Apostle Paul and his theology from 2 Corinthians 12:9, when Paul says, God said to me, my grace is all you need. My power is strongest when you are weak. So I'm very happy to brag about how weak I am. Then Christ's power can rest on me. If we think about how God has designed, right, we're in this physical and spiritual battle on this earth until our eternal future comes to pass. But our physical bodies and our spiritual bodies are different. And so we're better to see that exhibited than in people with disabilities. And I just think that's a really potent thought. So I put a link in there to actually a podcast that you can listen to Dr. Hardwick speak about that, because I think it's a really powerful piece, especially coming from someone who has been through the journey of being diagnosed as having autism as an adult. And so it's a really powerful piece and a wonderful Bible teaching. John Swinton, who I especially mentioned when talking about dementia, and so I'm going to use a little segment from his writing on that topic again here. He says, if we allow the experience of dementia to resonate with the experience of the psalmist, we can begin to see the importance of being remembered by God. When God remembers us, we are held in who we are now and for eternity. I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands, Isaiah says in Isaiah 49. And John Swinton says this, when we have forgotten who we are, when we remember badly and lose sight of ourselves, we can rest assured that God continues to hold us. And again, I think about that balance of our spiritual body and our physical body, and those who are living with dementia or experiencing other disability. God knows us, God remembers us, God holds us, and our eternal spirit lives on. And so I just think we can listen to the Lord as we interact with people, and by being in their presence and by being with them in the struggle, that we can know that God is here in a very real way, and we can maybe come into the spiritual realm in a stronger way because our physical limitations are causing us to be less reliant on our own mind and body. And so I think that's a really important piece for us to hang on to. And then Leon Van Omen, he is out of the University of Aberdeen alongside his colleague there, John Swinton. But he says this, he says, being present or being available to one another is grounded in God's availability to creation in Christ. It starts with God, and therefore, availability is a gift. We need to make ourselves available to people of all abilities, and some of us may have more social flexibility or cognitive flexibility or physical flexibility than others. And those of us who have that flexibility have a responsibility to be flexible for those who do not have that level of agility. And so let's be available to one another just as God has made himself available to us. And so he cites Philippians 2, 5 through 11 and says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. He made himself nothing. Let's be like Christ. Let's put ourselves lower than others so that we may serve them and strengthen them. And so as you go from this, I want you to think about equipping others grounded in Scripture and with strategies that are helpful and supports that are going to make sure that everyone thrives. We have one final time to go, so I'll see you next time.